Now we have the sins of the priests, verses 3 through 12. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Now the sin of the priest is considered first. Why? Well, he stood in the place of leadership. If he's wrong, the people were wrong. His sin's their sin. Like priests, like people, the Word of God says. He was to bring a young bullock, which was a most valuable animal of all. And the position of the one who sinned determined the type of animal for his sin offering, his sin sacrifice. His sin was no different, but his responsibility was greater. And you remember James, a very practical man, he said, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." That's James 3:1. My brother, why do you want to be a preacher? Makes you more responsible. Why do you want to sing a solo? It makes you responsible. Why in the world do you want to be a deacon or an officer in a church or teach a Sunday school class? You're more responsible than anyone else. And he'll hold you to it, by the way. And that's what he's saying here. We are told that, "For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh a son who's consecrated forever." And that's the difference between Christ, our great high priest, and the order of Aaron. They were just weak men like we are. And they had to have an offering. But our Lord, he offered for you and me. Then verse 4, "He shall bring the bullock under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord." Now this is the same ritual for the sin offering that you actually have with a burnt offering, a striking similarity. And then verses 5 and 6, "And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood, bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary." Now, to sprinkle the blood 7 times before the veil secured God's relationship with the offender. Now, will you notice, that's not all, and I'll go into this. "And the priest shall put some of the blood from the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle, the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation." Now, this may sound to you bordering on paganism, but has a wonderful spiritual message here. Now, to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of incense, and that altar incense was the place of prayer, that indicates that Christ has made a sacrifice, that when you and I confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we are restored to the privilege of worship and to the place of prayer and to fellowship. And it all is dependent on the blood of Christ. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. You see, the remainder of the blood was poured out at the bottom of the brazen altar. This satisfied the conscience of the sinner and removed any guilt complex. My friend, the thing for you to understand and for me to understand, that when Christ forgives your sin, he forgives you, friend. Nothing more to be said about it. He has put it in the bottom of the sea, and it'll never be remembered anymore. He settles the sin question. That'll get rid of your guilt complex. Somebody, "Oh, I wonder if he forgiven me." Oh, my friend, he took it all away. He took it all away. This was the remedy, you see, for the conviction of sin, and the only one that could satisfy the mind and heart. And when you come to Christ and see him, you'll find him adequate. And we are told here that for the sin offering follows the same ritual as the peace offering. From here on, the fat's burned on the altar, and fellowship is complete and service is restored, you see. And that fat, you remember, that means God's called you to enjoy the best.